The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
We're so glad you've stopped by. Welcome to Around the World in a Glass, presented by Sportsman's, with your host, Kimber Stonehouse. Come indulge with us in the next hour as we explore a region of the world, its wine and spirits. We'll also talk about food, tours, and other amenities unique to this area. Sit back and enjoy. Now, here's Kimber Stonehouse.
Well, hello and welcome to Around the World in a Glass for another week. I'll have to be honest, I'm still in mourning. The 49ers lost on Sunday, for those of you who didn't watch the Super Bowl and have lived in a cave since then. So anyway, I was very disappointed, but I'm also a Cubs fan. I don't admit that very often. So, you know, there's always next year, because that's what you have to be when you're a Cubs fan. But the Niners, I felt like, you know, it's a Super Bowl, people. You got to play from the beginning of the game, not just the second half. You know, and there for a minute there, I thought they were gonna manage to make it happen right at the very end, because they are an awesome young team. So I was disappointed, but again, there's always next year. So anyway, today I thought I would go into my next topic that I don't love. Valentine's Day is next week. I refer to it as Arizona Statehood Day, because that is the day of the year that Arizona became a state many, many, many years ago. Well, not as many as Illinois, but, more than maybe one other state. I think Arizona and Alaska are like tied for who got there last. I don't remember which one it was. One was 48 and one was 49, and then Hawaii, I think. I'm not sure how that goes. Anyway, it is the same day as February 14th. And so Valentine's Day is next week. So I thought I would give you a heads up on your Valentine's Day planning. So if there's any men out there listening, this is a good heads up for you to plan. And if there's women out there listening, this might be just the ticket you need to figure out what you're going to do for that special someone. So Arizona Statehood Day is a fantastic day to celebrate. And you all know exactly where I'm going to go. I'm going to go to Bubbles. Right? Isn't that how that's going to work? I'm going to go to Bubbles, but I'm going to save that. We'll talk about Bubbles in a bit. If you go out often on Valentine's Day, you may have experienced some not so awesome service. You know, a lot of, especially fine dining restaurants, and, you know, they're packed. They are just packed. Everybody goes out on Valentine's Day. From the, you know, high school boyfriend-girlfriend types that, you know, one just barely has their keys and they barely have enough money, and they go to, you know, Chili's or Carlos O'Brien's or whatever local inexpensive restaurant, Applebee's maybe, to your fine dining restaurants where people, sometimes with a lot of money, go for dinner. And sometimes the service is just not that awesome, all right? Maybe the service is not that awesome, but part of the reason, especially in your finer dining places, I know I have a lot of friends who are servers, and they also get frustrated because they have more tables than they can handle because everybody goes out. And sometimes they have people who don't go out very often, so maybe they don't know how to tip very well. So, you know, they're going to run and work really, really hard for that 5 or 6 hour shift and yet make less money than any other night of the week. So if you are going out, make sure that you plan ahead and you have your reservations in hand, and be generous to those people who are working really hard for that little bit of money. That does not mean you tip for bad service. I have a rule about that. If I'm going to do my 18 to 20% like I always do, then I do expect good service. Otherwise, I'll give you a little less than that, because, you know, it is a compliment and a thank you for good service. But I'm going to encourage you that if you want absolutely awesome service, you know, go out like the 17th or the 18th, or go celebrate on the 10th or the 11th. You know, those are sometimes some kind of cool things to do. Celebrate before or after that particular holiday. or stay home and celebrate. That was one thing that my sister and one of her previous boyfriends had done for years. They were together for, I don't know, 4 or 5 years off and on. And they stayed home and made hamburgers on the grill. You know, just had a nice dinner that they enjoyed, drinking the wine that they enjoyed. So it could be a really nice bottle of wine without costing $200 a bottle at the restaurant. And they could have that with their grilled hamburgers and sit on the, well, here in Phoenix we can sit on the patio in February most of the time. And just spend the evening together. And usually have better enjoyment than if they went out and fought the crowd. So that's kind of where I'm thinking would be a nice thing to do this year, especially if you traditionally go out. Maybe stay in. You can do something as easy as grilled hamburgers. If you live in the Midwest or the Northeast, it might be a little chilly for grilling outside. In that case, you could do, I was thinking good Italian food. And I can hear it already. Kimber, I don't know how to make good Italian food. I use ragu and a barilla pasta. I boil the one, I dump the other in the skillet until it's warm, and then I throw them together. Boom, it's pasta. All right, so maybe you don't feel comfortable cooking. Well, you know, there are some really great places where you can order out, take it home, and then put it into, you know, whatever container you like. So there are some really cool places like that. There are also places here in town. We have an AJ's. You can get some really good food there, or some food that takes very little preparation to make you look like a rock star. So if you're going to do some dining in, and I just think that is... I just think that is kind of the way to go for Valentine's Day. I recommend that you kind of continue what we've been talking about with new wines and new varietals, new regions. I've told you before that when I first started in the wine industry, my boss at the time told me after I'd worked there several months, maybe 6 months, maybe a year, that he always knew the weekends I worked by myself. Because on the weekends, usually the Friday night or the Friday, Saturday, Sunday shift was one person, and then the next weekend the other part-time employee got the Friday, Saturday, Sunday shift. And he said, I can always tell when you're here on the weekend. And I'm like, how's that, Paul? And he's like, the Italian section? It's been obliterated. Because I was very comfortable drinking and talking about Italian wine. I had been to Italy. I love Italian wine. I still do love Italian wine. So if you're going to have Italian food, and I do the same now. I mean, it's not much different now. If you come in and tell me I'm having pizza, I'm having spaghetti, I'm having, oh, I don't know, what else is there? Please don't have chicken Alfredo. But if you are having something along those lines, I'm still going to recommend an Italian wine. All right, every single time you come in and tell me an Italian dish, I think it goes with Italian wine best. Those red sauces and their Sangiovese grape are amazing. Those lighter fish fare that they do and have some of their really cool stuff where you use like a white wine sauce. Oh my gosh, they go so fantastic with their light whites. It's just amazing, whether you have meat in your pasta or not. It's just, you know, red sauce needs red wine. To me, the weight just goes together. The two just work well together. And white wine, red sauce, it doesn't work for me. If it works for you, great. But to me, it just doesn't quite work for me. So I would recommend doing something different. And maybe spending just a hint more money than you normally would. So I'm going to go out of our normal rules for the new year and recommend some wines that kind of have a price tag on them. Most of them are going to be under $75. Okay, so yes, I know you just all gasp. I mean, we talk about wines that are expensive, but a couple of these, they're very special. And I think the most expensive one is going to be, but still under 60, maybe. It might go all the way up to 75. So I just think that all of these are fantastic. Going to be a couple of different varietals from Italy. And we're not just going to talk about Italian wine. I got a whole list here of cool things for Valentine's Day. So if you're going to have Italian food, why do I pick on Italians, right? I don't think the majority out there are listening are Italian. But I think Italian food is very easy to fix at home. It's something about it is fresh fruit, fresh vegetables. If you're using those in your Italian fare, pasta is usually easy, whether you're doing it out of the box, whether you make it from scratch, and I don't ever, or whether you buy the semi-cooked kind that's supposed to be better because it's never been dried and boxed. I forget the brand name. You know, the one that's in the refrigerator section at the store. You know, or whether you buy Classico or Prego or Ragu, or whether you make your sauce from scratch. And I like to do kind of a ratatouille thing where you use like fresh tomatoes and stuff like that. And I like to do that, fresh tomatoes, olives, mushrooms, and do it that kind of that style. It doesn't matter. They're easy to fix. And they taste so amazingly good. I mean, you get to mix in oregano, thyme, a little parsley, and a whole lot of basil, because that's how I like mine. And don't forget the garlic and red pepper and black pepper. I like both. And, I mean, what's not to like, right? As long as you don't get too much pepper in there, it's going to be dynamite. So that's why I'm kind of picking on and suggesting Italian fare. It's easy. It's fantastically good. And then there's so many fantastic wines to choose from. So if you decide to go with that suggestion, I'm going to mention some wines here. If you decide to order out for pizza from your favorite pizza restaurant, absolutely nothing wrong with that either. My favorite pizza place? Oh, I would take that any day, and especially on Valentine's Day. It's dynamite. You know, and our local one here that I like really well is Rosati's. It's a deep dish. I lived in Chicago for 7 years, and I loved Chicago-style pizza before I moved there. And since I moved there, it's been really hard to find some place that I love. But you know what? Lou Malnati's in Chicago, it's expensive, but you got plenty of time because it only takes 48 hours to get it here. So you got plenty of time to get it if you're listening this week. Lou Malnati's does a frozen, I forget how it's frozen. I think it's dry ice frozen. And they will ship it to you. It is not cheap, all right? So it costs, the shipping costs as much as the pizza, I think. So the pizza's like $20 and the shipping's like another 20 or 25. So it's not inexpensive, and I haven't done it for years. So I'm guessing they still do it because I've talked to people who've done it recently. But I have not looked at the price, all right? But we're talking Valentine's Day, so you can spend a little more. That would be cool. Luminati's pizza and then great red wine. Awesome night. Right there you go. All righty. Some of my favorite Italian wines, there's two grapes that I love, and they're a little bit harder to find. One of them is Barbera. I've talked about it before. It's kind of like Merlot without the softness, without the tannin on it, or without the bitterness of the back palate. Barbera is fantastic. There's one or two that are domestic that I like. One of those would be Terra d'Oro does one from California. They are part of the big Trinchero Montevigna family. And Montevigna actually used to do one. I haven't had it for years. But sometimes you can find that at the grocery store for like $8. And it's called Montevigna, M-O-N-T-E-V-I-N-A, Montevigna, owned by the Trinchero family, which also owns Sutter Home and several things. They have several different tiers in that family. And most of their grapes and wines, I think all of them come from California, and some of the really good stuff comes from Napa. And they are good. They're going to set you back about $35 to $40, but they are definitely worth it. But the Montevigna is, I think, about $8, and the Terra d'Oro Barbera is probably close to $18. It's just a really good, solid bottle of wine. Going to be easy to drink, but yet some richness and stuff. It would go fantastic with that pizza. If you're a little shy on reds, you're kind of new to reds, it's going to hit your palate. If you're drinking some Pinot Noirs or some Gamay, some Beaujolais, sometimes Cab's a little too much, but you like something that's got a little more fruit, Barbera is your grape. It's just going to be awesome. Another one of my favorite grapes. Now, this one, I'll give you the heads up. It is a pain to find this next one. It's called Aglianico. A-G-L-I-A-N-I-C-O. Aglianico. All right? Awesome Scrabble word, by the way, if you can get all those letters together. Almost too many, but you kind of got to get lucky. But Aglianico is the grape. It's best when it's from Italy. I've had one or two that are domestic, and they're okay. You know, I don't even remember the brand names because they're that rare and that hard to find. There's a couple of them that you'll sometimes see on the grocery, on the wine shop shelves. All right, so you're going to have to hunt for that one. And I don't know if that it's on our shelves. It is sometimes. It is one of my favorite grapes. What do I like about it? It has a lot of attitude. All right, so it's not wussy. Not that, you know, Barbera is, but Barbera is softer on the palate. Aglianico is not. It's got a lot of spice. It's got a lot of zip. It's got a lot of fruit without being jammy, all right? So it doesn't taste like something that you want to spread on your toast. It's not got that much fruit. It's got a lot of balance. And then it's got some really good acidity along the side of your jaw. So it's really great food wine. In fact, with that deep dish Chicago pizza style, with all that cheese, that Aglianico is just going to rock. It's really going to be good. All right, and those the Barberas are going to run you about $15, maybe a little less, maybe a little more, depending on your brand name. The Aglianicos should be in that same ballpark, 15 to 20-ish, okay? They might, if it's a really good brand name, might bump it up to 25. Neither of those two should be, you know, just so far out of your budget that you cannot make that happen. Even some Barberas are even down. Like I mentioned, the Montevigna's down around $8 or $9. The Terra d'Oro is closer to 18. Some of the Italian ones are in that 15-ish kind of price range. All right, we're going to move into some of my more expensive choices for Italian wine. And we're going to stay red for a few more minutes. Probably end up going to whites here in a bit. But some of my other favorites, Barbaresco. Barbaresco, I have mentioned before, is a town in the Piedmont region of northern Italy. And there's a couple of them, Barolo, Barbaresco, Gemme. There's several of these towns that have their name attached to the wine. And Barbaresco kind of is my favorite. As you can tell by looking at the stores at Sportsman's, we all like Barbaresco. And it's been a little more readily available lately than Barolo. Same grape. The grape is Nebbiolo, N-E-B-B-I-O-L-O, Nebbiolo. They're just rich wines, okay? They're going to have a lot of acid. You're going to want to decant them and let them aerate a little bit, like we've talked about with some of the younger wines, because a Barolo or a Barbaresco, they can age for 10-plus years and still be dynamite, okay? Depending on how it's made and who the maker is, they can have a lot of aging potential. They can also drink really well through the decanter, through the aerator, the Venturi, if you have one. They're also going to drink really well right now. We're pouring one on the bar by the glass by Produttori, and it's a fantastic bottle of Barbaresco. Brunello. You want a little more fruit, want a little more, not quite jammy, but a whole lot more fruit. Go with a Brunello. Sees minimum of 3 years of oak once it's been fermented. And then once it gets into the bottle, they usually bottle age it a bit after it's spent 3 years in oak. So Brunellos are going to set you back, okay? The Barbaresco I mentioned is about 50. Some of them can be 75, all right? So they can be prohibitively expensive if you're, you know, really on a budget. Brunellos are probably going to start about 60 to 70, and they can go way up, all right? We've had them at 110 on the shelf. But Brunello is 100% Sangiovese Grosso. It's little sister would be Rosso di Montalcino. Montalcino is the region in this case. Brunello, like I said, older vines and a little more aging. Gonna be dynamite. One more before the break is Gaia. They do a wonderful blend of mostly Merlot, but Syrah and Sangiovese. And that Sangiovese, it's only like 10 or 15% most of the time. It will knock your socks off. And it's called the Promise. And this one's going to set you back a little over 50 to 55. The Gaia wine would be my pick if I was doing some really amazing dinner. Probably not for the Chicago-style pizza. All right, when we come back from break, we're going to talk about a couple of Italian and one little Spanish white that I thought was pretty cool this week. We'll be right back.
News. Opinion.
Hear me.
Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
Tune in to the Voice America Variety Channel on the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Voice America Variety broadcasts a diverse array of topics, reaching a global community. Our experts come from all walks of life, and the topics they discuss are everything from current events, arts and entertainment, leadership, parenting, relationships, self-improvement, career advice, and a variety of other topics. Check us out today. You're sure to find something of interest. Voice America Variety. Talk on today's hot topics.
On the weekends, you like to relax with your girlfriends, a cup of tea, your favorite magazine, and some stories and fun. So why not check out Sister Seriously? It's all that and a whole lot more. Host Kelly Chevalier and her guests will bring you stories and tips designed to encourage women everywhere. Find out more about fashion, interior design, beauty, and entertaining. Sure, we make mistakes like everyone else, but the goal is to find out how to overcome and live the fabulous life for free. Sister Seriously is live every Saturday at 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific on Voice America Variety.
Think of the world. 50 years ago. Now think of this same world and how it'll be 50 years from now. Did you know that if the world's population continues to grow at its current rate, our children and grandchildren will only have 25% of the resources per capita that our parents and grandparents had? We must preserve the foundation of a quality standard of living. That foundation starts with Go Green Radio. Join your host, Jill Buck, for Go Green Radio every Friday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Voice America.
News, opinion.
Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com. You are listening to Around the World in a Glass, presented by Sportsman's, with your host, Kimber Stonehouse. If you have a question for one of our upcoming programs, please send an email to aroundtheworldinaglass@hotmail.com. That's aroundtheworldinaglass@hotmail.com. Now, back to our show.
Alrighty, so Italian night, instead of Valentine's dinner out, do Italian in. And so maybe you're not a fan of red wine, or maybe you're not a fan of red sauce, or maybe you really hate pizza, which is really confusing to me, but that's all right. There are people who don't like pizza, I think, and I think they're American. Anyway, if you don't like red wine or red sauce and you want to do something different, you could always do, a lighter white wine kind of sauce with your pasta. Again, you could do the ratatouille style and even ditch the tomatoes and kind of keep it on the more vegetable side or mushroomy side. Okay, get some earthiness going there. Lots of garlic. That's just my way of making it. Lots of garlic, some good pepper. I would recommend a phalangina. And you're like, what in the world is that, and where do I find it? I may have talked about it in Weird Whites. I think we did a Weird Whites sometime over the summer when everything was too hot and I didn't want to be bothered with anything that was warm to talk about because it was so darn hot outside. I think I talked about phalangina then. But phalangina is amazing. It's different than Pinot Grigio. The thing I love about Italian whites, they're made to go with food, all right? They're not going to be oaked, as a rule. You might find one here or there that has some oak or see some what they call neutral oak, which means it just kind of makes it a texture thing, not so much on the flavor, but kind of a texture. It adds what we call a roundness in the mouth that makes it not seem so linear. So instead of coming through and just racing across your tongue and down your throat, it kind of lingers a little bit. It's a little richer. The best way to describe it would be if you think about, I'm trying to give you a really good example of something that would be rounder in the mouth besides the milk one. But the milk one works. That's why we use it all the time. You know, full-bodied milk would be your whole milk, whereas 1%, which tends to be what I drink, or 2%, or fat-free, would be thinner or leaner. Okay, and so they're just not, you know, one can come across as watery, and the other one is like, oh my gosh, there's so much milk here. You know, so that would be kind of your difference in your wine. Not really, not quite the same, but very similar. So it would be, you know, something that's very acidic and linear versus something that's just a little more gentle, and we call it rounder in the mouth. And that's kind of what the oak will do if it's neutral. If it's not neutral, meaning it's new or 1 year old, it's going to add all kinds of flavor. It's going to come across as vanilla, as butter, depending on how they manipulate the wine and do it in the winery. All right. So we've talked about that a lot when we've talked about Chardonnay, that manipulation that they can do, the malolactic fermentation where they switch the mallow, which is the green apple, into lactic, which is, you know, like milk. So you get kind of this buttered popcorn or buttery kind of aromas. And then oak on a Chardonnay grape also adds in a lot of toast and toastiness, like because they toast the oak a little bit. So you kind of get that vanilla or some flavors like that sometimes comes through with the oak. And you can usually smell that on the wine as well as see it visually. But most of your Italian wines, Italian whites for sure, are not going to see that. Italian reds, some do, some don't, all right? Most do if they're expensive. It's hard to charge a big price for a wine, meaning more than $15, if it's not going to get any age, all right? It just seems there's something really wrong about that, all right? When I feel the same way about scotch or whiskey. When I see something that's clear like a moonshine, I'm sorry, you're going to charge me what? That should be about $15. You didn't do anything that's expensive. So, you know, even vodkas, That's why most vodkas are under $50 or under $60, even the premier vodkas. Why? Because they don't see oak. So it's really hard to justify, whereas Scotch and most whiskeys see some oak, and some that are really expensive have a lot of oak aging. So they, you know, they look at it in years, and on Scotch and some bourbons, it'll tell you how many years, with Irish whiskey the same way, it'll tell you how many years it's been aged in oak. So it sat in those oak barrels for blank number of years. That makes it more expensive. All right, so if it sees no oak, you shouldn't be charging a whole lot of money for it. Personal opinion, all right? Personal opinion. We don't tend to age things a lot in the bottle. One of those exceptions will be vintage port. And vintage port is going to cost you a whole lot of money in spite of the fact that it sees no oak, just so you know. It's also very, very good. But that's because, again, the grapes have to be perfect. They baby them from the ones they pick and call the vintage. They baby all along the way. I mean, vintage port is just amazing stuff. And we'll talk about it some other day. But it is always worth its price if you like port. That's the big if. All right, so Falanghina, Pinot Grigio. Pinot Grigio is the one you all know I don't like Pinot Grigio. Or Pinot Gris. I don't care what you call it. I still don't really like it. But Italian whites are so much more than Pinot Grigio, and that's what most people only know of. And they're all going to be in that style where they have light fruit, good acidity, and no oak. Because the Italians have one thing that the wine is supposed to do. Complement the food. The wine is not supposed to be just for drinking after dinner, or it doesn't match your food, so you eat your food and drink your wine, but not together, please, because they don't taste good together. The whole concept for the Italians is that the wine goes with your dinner. The wine is food-friendly, and the red and white are like them. So they always have Italian wines. If I was going to say across the board, one characteristic every Italian wine I've ever had in common, acidity. Acidity along the sides of your jaw where you get the dill pickles, but not dill pickly, vinegary. It's not like that, but acidity. And that is why it goes well with food. No matter what you're eating, the wine goes well with food. All right, so Falanghina is one. Take a look, see if you can find it. We usually have one on the shelf. Sometimes we have two. Gewürztraminer. They don't have to be sweet, and they are amazing. And those are going to, again, be an Italian white. Lugana. I've read about it out how many times? I think that's the grape. And the region, L-U-G-A-N-A, runs about $15 on the shelf. Absolutely fantastic. Again, it's an easy drinking, lighter style, crisp white. Crisp as in not sweet, and just really light and delicate on the palate. So it's going to go great with those lighter fares, whether you do vegan or vegetarian fare, or something other than red sauce. Okay, because red sauce can be vegan or vegetarian, by the way. But if you're doing like a white wine and butter or white wine and oil kind of sauce, olive oil kind of sauce or something like that, it's going to go great with those Italian whites. So those are just a few. The Spanish one I had recently, as a matter of fact, just had it yesterday. I think we're going to put it on our new wine list, was a Garnacha Blanc. Garnacha Blanc. All right, so they spell it G-A-R-N-A-C-H-A, Blanc, B-L-A-N-C. It's the same grape as Grenache Blanc in Châteauneuf-du-Pape. It's the same as, there's a couple of places here in the States that do a Grenache Blanc. Trenza does one out of California, I think. T-R-E-N-Z-A. Fantastic bottle of Grenache Blanc. So there's a couple of people doing stuff with Grenache Blanc on its own. It's fantastic. It's really, really a good grape. This one from Spain is not on the shelf yet. It will be probably by next week. But it's going to run about $30. So a little more expensive for a white, but it's got minerality, and it's just, you know, that slatiness that I like so well, and all of those, you know, like licking rocks and that aromas for slate and flint that just make it so fantastic. And then it's got the good acidity with some good fruit on the front of the palate. It just was such a fun wine. We all just absolutely loved it yesterday in spite of its more expensive price for a white. We just thought it was really cool, and we're going to put it on our next wine list coming up. All right, so if you decide not to do Italian, you don't want to mess with it, and it's not too cold where you live, or you don't care, you really want a grilled hamburger or some other kind of grilled meat or grilled veggies. I love veggies on the grill. Holy cow. Grilled onions, grilled zucchini, grilled pineapple. I know it's not a veggie, but it's really good on the grill. Grilled peaches. Ooh, that's good. But you might have a hard time finding fresh peaches right now. It's a little cold for fresh peaches. But so fruits and vegetables are fantastic. Grilled tomatoes. You can kebab them or you can just, you know, slice them and lay them out. Hold them together with toothpicks and take the toothpicks out when you serve them. But grilled foods go fantastic with some of those Rhone Reds. We've talked about them in January. They were part of our New Year's resolution, the Rhone Reds. I'm thinking Southern Rhone. But you know what? If you wanted to fork out the cash for one of those Northern Rhones, I'd probably get something a little bigger. I'd make sure I had some meat to go with my grilled foods or a whole lot of tomatoes. But those Rhone Reds are going to go fantastic with grilled foods, whether it's hamburgers, whether it's grilled like bratwurst or something like that, if that's what your thing is, or grilled chicken. Or go all out, man. Do grilled steak. I'm not coming over for dinner, so you have all the steak you want. You know, it's just good. And what a cool thing to do, especially if you're in a colder climate, to kind of remind yourself that summer's coming. I know my sister sometimes grills out in all times of the year, partly because she's very warm natured and doesn't mind hanging out outside, but also because it's not as hot to stand over the grill in, you know, February or March as it is in July. She lives in the St. Louis area. All right, so grilled foods and some of those Rhone Reds we talked about a few weeks ago, gonna be a dynamite pairing. If you're not a big fan, again, turn to some of those Italian whites. The Rhone style whites are very nice. You could always do a Sauvignon Blanc. But, you know, there's so many other wonderful whites out there besides just that traditional Sauvignon Blanc if you're not a Chardonnay fan. You know, and again, branch out. Go to your local wine shop. Talk to somebody who knows about wine. Or just trust me and go out and buy some of these really cool things that are a little bit off the beaten path. If you've got a local wine bar, if you are in Phoenix, I hope that it's Sportsman's. If you're somewhere else listening, find a local wine bar that does things by the taste so that you can go in and get to know the servers, just kind of a little privately owned kind of fun place. Get to know the servers and then take, you know, we call it a taste, but it's usually a half a glass. Sometimes they'll do flights. You know, and just try some things that are a little out of your corner, you know, out of your little comfort zone. Kind of push your palate, especially if you're a Pinot Grigio fan or Sauvignon Blanc fan. All of the things that I've mentioned are totally in your palate profile. You are going to love Falanghina. You're going to like this Garnacha Blanca. You're going to probably enjoy that dry Gewürztraminer I talked about. They're wonderful, all right? So, you know, kind of experiment a little bit. So those are my suggestions for Valentine's. Do some Italian food because it's easy, it's inexpensive, it's awesome, and then you can spend more money on the wine. Or do, you know, something grilled or that kind of style. I don't have a grill. I live in an apartment complex, so I have to use the community one downstairs, and I'm really bad at it. So I tend to bake my food or pan sear it because it's usually not ashes by the time I get done. So I very much enjoy it when somebody else grills for me because I just don't quite have that talent. I'm either impatient or I forget about the food. One of those two is always the issue. All right, so we've got dinner covered. Usually people exchange gifts at Valentine's. You just came off of Christmas. You know, I'm not going to get on my soapbox, I promise. But you just came off of Christmas. And I don't know about anybody else, but I spent too much money at Christmas. And I told you all not to do that. And I turned around and did it. I really spent too much money. So what it meant was, because I don't put all that on a credit card. I played that game. I don't want to play that game ever again. But it did mean that I've been scrambling for the month of January to play a little catch-up and buy groceries, because that was the first thing that has to go is, oh, look, we're eating what's left over in the freezer that you bought in January, you know, bought in December. Oh, look, I still have peanut butter. You know, that's kind of how I've been eating out of my cabinets the last month. But all that aside, a lot of people exchange gifts. If you've got a budget, you know, for the entire day, try to stay in it. You know, because nothing's worse than getting the credit card bill after you broke up or getting the credit card bill period, right? You know, I just always hate it when I look at it. I'm like, why did you do that? Why did you do that? And, you know, and I don't have a good answer. So I've really been trying to work on that aspect of my personality. All right, so if you're gift giving, you can go back and listen, because in December and part of November, I did a huge gift giving guide where each week was kind of focused on a different type of booze or different types of wine, that sort of thing. So I didn't quote a lot of prices on the wines. I probably did mention a few things we had on sale. Of course, they're not on sale now. They might still be in the store, but they're not on sale because it's after the end of December. But I mentioned I did a whole thing on scotch. So questions that you might have or questions that you need to come in and ask. Remember my theory of snooping to find out what it is they already like to drink. That, to me, is your best ticket. You come in with your little cheat sheet or your pictures you covertly took of their bar and say, okay, this is the one they like to drink, he or she. Because women like scotch, too, by the way. Women like scotch, too. It's one of my favorite beverages. I always get the odd look. Well, can you help me find a bottle of scotch? Yes, I can. And then I start talking. They're like, oh. So take a look and see kind of what they like. And then come in and say, hey, my budget is $75, $50, $30. We're not going to go with scotch. We're going to find you something else. Come in and tell us your budget and what they like. And we'll set you up with something that'll work. Same with tequila, brandy, cognac, Armagnac, all of those are amazing. I've got a couple of others, though, because we've never done an episode, I don't believe, that we've ever done an episode on the liqueurs for the adventurous. All right, and those are so cool. They are some of my favorite things. I don't drink them very often. I'm not a big sweet fan. I've mentioned to you before, I don't eat a lot of sweets. I don't do a lot of sweets. The other night I came home from the Super Bowl party and I commiserated. I had a piece of the red velvet cake I had bought to celebrate the 49ers win. So I had a really little sliver of red velvet cake. I think that's the first dessert I've had probably since Christmas. And then it was a little piece. But I don't do a lot of desserts. So I love these liqueurs. I don't drink them very often. And I will warn you that even though they're well made, they are loaded with sugar. And what's the quickest way to have a really wicked hangover? Drink lots of sugar products. Yes, so mix lots of Coke with your vodka, whatever you like to mix together. If there's a lot of sugar there, usually leads to a pretty wicked hangover. So I'm going to mention some. Some are on the shelf, some are not. All right, Valentine's Day and chocolate. These just seem to go together, right? You see the chocolate hearts. I think Russell Stover's makes a fortune at Valentine's Day, right? The next one coming up right after that for them, about 6-8 weeks later, going to be Easter. Yes. So, holy cow, I've seen all the Valentine's hearts everywhere filled with chocolate. So chocolate and Valentine's Day, that goes together. Well, give it up. Don't buy chocolates that you have to push them in to find out if it's the gross pink ones or, God forbid, the gross green one. You know the ones I'm talking about. We've all been there. And if you like them, great. I'll send you all mine. But I don't like those mushy ones where they have the weird colors on the inside. I'm like, ooh, that's mushy and that's pink and that's going to be nasty because I bet it's raspberry. Buy just a bottle of Godiva chocolate liqueur. That's right. Godiva makes chocolate liqueur. They make it in dark chocolate, milk chocolate, and white. I'm not sure if it's all three anymore. But holy cow, there's no reason to buy a box of chocolates when you can drink your chocolate. How cool is that, right? And I bet it'd make wicked chocolate milk. I've never used it for that, by the way. Or hot chocolate. There you go. But you could pour it on ice cream and it would be good. It's done by the Godiva Chocolate Company, so you know it's going to be good. And now they've added alcohol. All right, so that would be one. Forbidden, it's not on our shelf right now because it's out at the wholesaler, but it comes in a bright red, shiny, glossy package. It says forbidden on it. For heaven's sakes, forbidden chocolate dark mocha liqueur, which is sweet and dark and coffee-y. I think there's chocolate in there too. Mocha? Isn't that chocolate? Anyway, holy crap, this stuff is good. Oh my goodness. And it comes in this great looking package. It's not expensive either. It's under $30, I think. It's supposed to be in before Valentine's Day. So it's called Forbidden, and it is absolutely amazing. All right, we're going to go to break. I have a couple that aren't going to be quite that sweet that I want to mention that are just really cool. And then we're going to get into my favorite part of the topic, the bubbles, because Valentine's Day and bubbles, they go together. We'll be back in a bit.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com. When you look at something that's been designed, whether it's clothing, architecture, or a work of art, do you stop and wonder about the inspiration and thought process that went into the design? Tune in to Dishing the Dirt on Design with hosts Ann Asher and Eleanor Schrader Schappa. We'll take the mystery out of the creation process, along with revealing the backstory from art to fashion to travel and so much more. Listen to Dishing the Dirt on Design every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Tune in every week for Sex Out Loud. Host Tristan Taramino will discuss everything from sexual pleasure to sexual politics. Get an insider's perspective from leaders in the adult film industry, the LGBT community, and the sex-positive world. From kink to non-monogamy, nothing is off-limits. Plus, you can call in to join the conversation. Sex Out Loud airs every Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Each week, Jimmy Gould brings you the stories and the people that you want to hear about. Tune in to A Current Life to hear about the journey to success, how our guests became the people they are today, and the highs and lows they experienced along the way. Each hour will leave you inspired and entertained as Jimmy gets up close and personal with every week's guest and shares ideas you can identify with and apply to your own life. A Current Life with Jimmy Gould airs Fridays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time, on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com. You are listening to Around the World in a Glass, presented by Sportsman's, with your host, Kimber Stonehouse. If you have a question for one of our upcoming programs, please send an email to aroundtheworldinaglass@hotmail.com. That's aroundtheworldinaglass@hotmail.com. Now, back to our show.
All right. The forbidden stuff is awesome. Hot pinkish red bottle. Yeah. Anyway, that'd be a good one to try. Another one that's on the sweet side, but not as sweet as the Godiva and the Forbidden. And it's still a cream liqueur, and both of those are kind of on the milkier or creamier side. Probably because of the chocolate. But, another one that is on that creamier side is called Rum Chata. And it's spelled R-U-M-C-H-A-T-A, I believe. It is a take, the alcohol take on horchata. H-O-R-C-H-A-T-A, which is kind of a Hispanic thing here in the Phoenix market. I'm not sure. The rum chata is amazing. It's just flat awesome. It's kind of a rice milk liqueur, I believe. Probably has some rum in it or something else to get the liquor part in there, but it is really, really good. And we're talking it's under $25. Just pour it over ice and drink. That's right. It doesn't take much else. But keeping in mind that these are on the sweet side, but it make a great dessert. I assume it would taste good warm. I've never had it warm. I've only had it on ice, and it was very good. I've had it without the ice, too, and it was still really good. Another one, moving out of the cream liqueurs and the cream-based things with that have that kind of style. The rum chata, by the way, would go really good in coffee. But I think it's so good on its own, I would never mask it by mixing it with coffee. If you like things that are on the fruitier side, the Mazenaise line, M-A-S-S-E-N-E-Z, they're going to set you back about $25 a bottle. They're fantastic. They are basically French brandy. Okay, so they're not Armagnac or Cognac because they don't come from that region, but they are based on French brandy, nice quality brandy. And then they do flavors. The peach is my favorite. You open it up and it smells like a fresh bushel basket of peaches. You can't grill it, but it is good peach liqueur. They also do it in cassis. They do it in framboise, which is strawberry. I don't like strawberries. They do it in raspberry. And they do it in griotte, which I believe is cherry. There might be one more that I forgot, but it comes in four or five different fruit flavors, and they are good. They are really good. Nice quality. They work well on the rocks. They work well on ice cream. They're going to be fantastic mixed in with, say, like Prosecco to do, like, say, a Bellini style where you kind of add a little bit of liqueur or, you know, what's the other one? There's another one that people call it a Cure Royale. You could do that with these as well. You don't have to just use Chambord. So they're just fantastic. And, again, they're not expensive, but they just kind of add a little sparkle or spice to your evening. And they make a great gift, too. So if you're looking to buy something different and you know, your partner loves things that are sweet, which is, of course, why they're with you, right? And loves things that are sweet, but also likes the fruity style instead of a cream liqueur. That series is just fantastic. If you are a coffee fan or your Valentine is a coffee fan, the Patron XO is amazing. I'm pretty sure I've mentioned it here before, probably when I was talking about tequila and tequila-based liqueurs. But the Patron XO is amazing. It's coffee. It's tequila-based, and then it's coffee. It's called Patron XO, and it comes in the Patron-style bottle, and it's kind of frosted, and the contents are black. And it is good. I never knew, because I've had Tia Maria, I've had Kahlua, I've had, I think, every coffee liqueur that's out there. And they're good. You know, I'm not a big fan of Kahlua. It's good. The Tia Maria is really good. The difference is probably more coffee, less cream, or less sweetness, if you're comparing Kahlua to Tia Maria for my personal palate. But I love the tequila part of the Patron XO. And I'm not always the biggest tequila fan. I like it, but in small doses. The Patron XO is just good. All right, so if you've got a coffee fan and they've not had it, again, it doesn't have a regular Patron price, just so you know. It's not like $40 for the Blanco or $50 or whatever they're charging for it. It's going to be under $30, all right? And it is really good for that person who likes coffee and tequila. There you go. So that would be one that I would also recommend. I haven't done, I don't believe, a session on gin. So I'm just going to throw out a couple of gin thoughts. If you have gin fan, I've got a couple of things that you may or may not have bought in the past. Depends on your budget. The two expensive ones that I would recommend, and we're talking $50 to $60. All right. There is an insane one that's nearly $800. I think that's out of most of our budgets. It's a special reserve by Nolet's, if you want to know. And it is a regular size bottle. It's not a fancy bottle. It's not a big bottle. It's not a hand painted bottle. And it's not oak aged either. However, they do dump a whole bunch of saffron in it, and saffron is a very expensive spice. So yeah, it's about $750 or $800 a bottle, and we only do it by special order. I'm not gonna put that on the shelf unless somebody really wants it, but then I'll order it for them. But it's by Nolet's, and that's their special reserve. I'm told it's very good. Have not had it. The Nolet's regular version is about 50, 55 maybe, 48 maybe. It's in that ballpark. And it's N-O-L-E-T-S, N-O-L-E-T-S, a gin, and it is very good. Oxley is another one, O-X-L-E-Y. You often only find that in restaurants. It's not on a lot of store shelves. They don't always like it to be on a lot of store shelves, and we happen to have a little bit of it that we get on occasion. Some others that are, if you want to do variety pack, to me that's always cool when I'm buying a gift, is to just give them something new to try. St. George out of the San Francisco area, okay, make hanger vodkas, right? St. George is the distillery. They do a terroir gin. T-E-R-R-O-I-R. You can buy them as individuals, but we have a little three-pack of three different gins in this three-pack, and each one is 200 mils, and it's about $30, maybe $33. It's in that ballpark, so it's not, you know, it's not 50. It's more like around 30, and it's a little three-pack of gins, which I think is cool, and all of them are done in a little bit different style. So that would be a gin option as well. Just in case, before I forget, because I almost always run out of time. You all know that. You listen to me every week, and you know I always run out of time. I forgot the bubbles. Not quite, but came close. Bubbles come in all prices. They come in all styles. If you're a fan of Martini and Rossi Asti Spumante and you want to go and buy something better, come in and talk to us. We'll find a sweet one that's the right sweetness for you. Or you can just go with Martini and Rossi Asti Spumante, but we're not going to have that on the shelf. If you want to go with something that's not quite that sweet, but you still want some good fruit, we've got some great Proseccos. We've got some things that kind of sit on the fence between sweet and dry. We've got your Bone Dry. We've got your hugely expensive special vineyard stuff. We've got a really cool selection of bubbles, some from France, some from California, Italian. We've probably got bubbles from Spain and Argentina on the shelf as well. So we love bubbles at Sportsman's, and you know that I do. So that's always a nice way to either begin your evening or end it. Bubbles go well with most everything, food-wise, and they just kind of offer, you know, a tone to the evening, a celebration. And you know I love to celebrate, taking out the trash or vacuuming the floor. I just like to celebrate. So bubbles, and we probably will have some bubbles on sale, maybe some wines too, by the end of the week, just to celebrate Valentine's Day and give you some options that are kind of good bang for your buck. There is also a Ruinart tasting on Monday. I believe it's from 5 to 7, but Monday, that should be February 11th. Let me just give you the date because I don't have a calendar in front of me, but February 11th is that, and I believe that's Monday. It'll be from 5 to 7. Ruinart, they have discovered that Ruinart champagne goes fantastic with macaroons, but not the macaroons that I always think of, the little coconut drop ones that you bake, but the French style that have like the creamy stuff in the middle. And they're good together. You know, I don't think that, you know, I'm not the right one to judge. I'm not that big of a fan of cookies. So, but they go good together, and it's fun. You know, so they'll bring in some macaroons, and then we'll have the tasting. We'll pour both the red and the white, or the rosé and the white, the Blanc de Blanc and the rosé. Both of those will be poured on Monday night for a Rue and Art complimentary tasting. So if you're in the neighborhood and need something to do, or if you're trying to figure out what bubbles to buy, they'll, of course, be on sale for the tasting. So that would be one event. And then tonight, if you haven't got any plans, and it is a little early for Valentine's, but you could still come out anyway. We have a tasting with Zaca Mesa, and most of their vineyards and stuff, they're in Santa Barbara County. And we have a tasting with them tonight. We'll be tasting three of their wines. One of my favorites, which is their Viognier. And I'm not always a fan of domestic Viognier. Many times it's heavy-handed or it's over-oaked. It's just, it's a little bit temperamental of a grape. It's easy to overwhelm it or to do too much in the winery, and you kind of lose the grape in the process. So the Viognier is really quite nice. It's going to smell one way, and you put it in your mouth, and you're like, wow, what happened to all that oak I could smell and all that stuff I could smell on the nose? I didn't get that much of it on the palate. And to me, that's always cool when they give you, when that happens. You know, so many times it doesn't happen. Sometimes it's more oak on the palate than it was on the aroma. And in this case, it's reversed. So it's a really wonderful, wonderful glass of wine. And most of the Zaca Mesa wines are not outrageous. They're probably going to run you between 18 to, you know, 40 or 50 on the high side. But most of them are going to be in that, you know, 20 to 30 range, I think. They might have some that are less expensive that I'm just not aware of. And tonight we'll be pouring the Viognier. We'll be pouring the Z Cuvée. And it's just I believe it's a Grenache Mourvèdre Syrah blend, or a Grenache Syrah Mourvèdre blend, a GSM kind of blend, out of California. California does those really well. There's some really good wines that come out of California in that style. It's going to be fruity. It's probably going to have a little pepper on it. It's just going to be a good glass of wine. And again, it's not outrageous. I want to say it falls under 25, but I cannot remember. I'm sorry. And then we'll be doing one of their higher-end Syrahs, which is more expensive, and I want to say it's close to 40. It might be close even to 50. But holy cow, it is such a good bottle of wine. Every time I have it, I'm like, oh, I forgot this was this good. It's big, it's huge, but at the same time, it has kind of a hint of elegance kind of surrounding it. So it's really a good, good bottle of wine. And that's going on tonight from 5 to 7. And it is complimentary. You just stop in, taste the wines, stay for some food if you like. We do our $5 happy hour menu there on the Monday through Friday. Or Monday through Thursday. Sorry, we don't do them on Fridays. Monday through Thursday, we do our happy hour menu. So during that tasting, there'll be our $5 happy hour menu, which is usually four or five items at $5, and they're smoking deals. All right, so hopefully I've given you enough to go on for your happy Valentine's Day, happy Arizona Statehood Day. And, you know, if I didn't say you need scotch, say you need tequila or brandy, those are things I glossed over today because I did do those in a very long series. And some of them I devoted an entire hour or entire show to talking about. So go back and listen. They're in the archives. You can always go back and check those out and touch up and say, oh, yeah, you know what? This would be a great time to buy that scotch because I skipped it at Christmas. I was trying to surprise my mate with something different. And so I didn't buy what I normally buy. So this would be a good time to go back and check those out. There is some wine information there. There's also some craft cocktail. There's one I did on craft cocktails or mixology for the wine enthusiast, because that has always been a hard thing for me. I have some couple of cool things coming up, and I think I have about 2 minutes, maybe only one at this point. Couple of cool things coming up here on the show. We've got Justin. My interview with Justin Baldwin will be coming up in a couple of weeks, and I will have that ready to roll here soon, and you'll see that on the advertisement and on the Voice America website. And then the other thing that's coming up is I did an interview with Kim Stark Wallace from Dry Creek Vineyard, and that'll be coming up in a couple of weeks. You'll get to hear my interview. We were off on a location and had interesting sound quality, but they tell me it turned out well. So those will both be coming up. Cheers. Have a great week. Enjoy Valentine's Day. I know I'll talk to you before then, but you'll get to plan it now that you've been reminded that Valentine's is coming up. Have a great week. Cheers.
Thanks again for tuning in. Around the World in a Glass is heard every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 12 noon Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Please join Kimber Stonehouse from Sportsman's Fine Wines and Spirits next week for another glass.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.